Thank you, guys. That's a nice little welcome. I've been around. We had the men's encounter last week, and that was great. Women's today, that'll be good. But we're up here, and we'll be blessed as well. So, who's on there? Zach, could we just have the... thank you very much. Okay, so we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. And I, for one, have been so blessed and encouraged by what I've heard, what I've seen, what I've been experiencing over the last number of weeks. I hope that applies to you too. Yeah? It's good to have the different perspectives, the different people sharing. Oh, I haven't got my clock. I'll have to, somebody just tell me when it gets, I've been going on too long. I'll get it. Kim will be getting worried. There is one up there, yes, I know, yeah. Oh, it's actually got the thing on there as well. It's timing me. I've got 29:48 left, right. Okay, so you can see what my talk theme is today. If you are thirsty, come. And I'm hoping there'll be plenty of time, hoping I don't take that long, there'll be plenty of time for us to have opportunity to receive more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to start by reading from Ephesians 2. Am I on? Was this the same last time I was? Yeah, is that me or you? Okay. Okay, I just want to start off looking at this passage from Ephesians 2. And there's two aspects I want to share today. But the first bit comes from Ephesians 2. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. He's talking to non-Jews, which I think is all of us, but certainly most of us here. You know, no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I've got to say, these are some of my favorite verses. I love that aspect that we are being built together in him to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. And the first thing I want to look at today is we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. These verses tell us we're being built into a temple, into a community of the Spirit, lives built together, horizontally connecting, loving, sharing, relating, built together in him and on the foundation, which is Jesus. We are the gospel community, and the Holy Spirit loves to live in the gospel community. If you remember the temple, the original temple, that was the place where the presence of God dwelt. It was symbolized by an ark, the Ark of the Covenant, which was placed in the Holy of Holies. And nobody could go into that holy place, the Holy of Holies, except the high priest. And he could only go in once a year. And you know, to use the word awesome would be right in this occasion. That was an awesome place to be. Because anybody that was not officially, it wasn't a high priest, they would be killed if they went behind the curtains into the Holy of Holies, because God was so holy and awesome. And do you know what? The high priest, he used to have all his gowns on, and around the bottom he would have pomegranates and bells, so they could hear him moving about, ministering to the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And he even had a cord around his ankle, which would go out under the curtain. So if the movement stopped, they would be worried. Has he died in this place? And because nobody could go in there, the cord would be used to yank the high priest out. And I'm not sure that ever happened, but they were taking precautions. So holy, so awesome was this place in the temple. And that's where God's presence dwelt. Times in the Bible you read about the Shekinah glory, that there was light, there was glory, there was smoke at times. The manifest presence of God came and filled that original temple. But the amazing thing is, after Jesus died and was resurrected, and after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, God moved house. Rather than being remained in those brick buildings of the temple, which doesn't exist now actually, he chose another temple, which was you and me. And that same awesome God came to live in us. Isn't that hard to grasp? That one which nobody else could even see or minister to except one person once a year has now come to live in you. He's come to make you his temple through the Holy Spirit. So Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I am a temple for God through the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And if you are saved, you are too. Paul reminds us in this verse, we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. Just as in the old temple, the blood of the animals was shed and the blood cleansed and the sacrifice was made so that sins could be forgiven, so in the new temple, the perfect sacrifice has already been made. Jesus on the cross. And his blood has completely cleansed every one of us if we've received that by faith. So when Penny talks about a past, we've all got a past. Haven't we all got a past that we're ashamed of? And I couldn't quite hear all you were saying, Penny. It's under my ears or I don't know what. Couldn't quite hear, but I know what. He's forgotten about it already. It's already clean. It's already gone. Amazing grace. Broken vessels. We've received from the Lord. All the past has been dealt with. And the Holy Spirit feels able to come and dwell in holy vessels. As Kiddus was reminding us, holy vessels, because of what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. So the challenge from the verse here is that we keep the place holy because we want our bodies, because we want the Holy Spirit to just enjoy this new home that he has to live in. We want to keep our guest happy, so we need to keep our bodies clean and tidy, as it were. But there's another aspect, and I just want to touch on this too. He says, don't you know, Paul, that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. And I wanted to remind us, there's a corporate dimension to the temple of Jesus Christ, where he comes to dwell. And we so easily miss this in our individualist society. In our individualist society, it's about me getting saved, it's about me being filled with the Spirit, it's about me receiving this, it's about me giving that, it's about me doing this, that, and the other. But actually, in the New Testament, there's another dimension. It's much more corporate. It's much more community. And he's come to live in us. That's why unity is so important. We are being built together. It's a picture of stones being shaped and honed and connected to create a beautiful temple. Do you know what? Jackie and I had the opportunity to go to Israel a few years ago. And I mean, some of the stones, you can see the foundation stones of the temple, they were enormous. And none of them were chiseled on site, because that would have defamed the place where God was calling holy. They were all made somewhere else, and then they were come and they were put together. And God wants to do that with you and me, to connect us together like a jigsaw, that we are relating and connecting together to create a building for him to fill. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's our foundation, and we together are being built into a temple. And when we gather, he comes. Where two or three come, in our cells, in our congregational meetings, he comes and he fills the temple. That's one reason why I love gathered church. He is in the midst. And I love it even more when I experience him and when I feel his presence. But whether I experience him or feel him, it doesn't matter in one sense, because he's here in the gathered community of his people. And praise and worship attracts his presence, the psalmist tells us. Paul even suggests elsewhere, when believers come, when unbelievers come into such a building, such a place, they will be convicted of their sin. You see, the Holy Spirit is among us. So when we understand we are his temple, we are his temple, it doesn't matter whether Malk falls on the floor and Berkey behind just sits there. we've received the Holy Spirit. He's come. I'm part of that same community, and he's filling that place. Some leave meetings a little bit negative sometimes, especially if others are being powerfully touched. And we saw that last week, there were a number of people being powerfully touched on the encounter. And I remember a time, it was in our school before we moved here, it was one of those special times, and it wasn't planned in any way at all. And we had a visiting speaker, he never even got to speak, because the Holy Spirit came down, and I'm not exaggerating, there were bodies all over the floor. And God was doing a work. He was touching people. They couldn't stand in his presence. And I wasn't touched, but I went home rejoicing. Because that's my temple. It's his temple. And I'm part of it. I'm connected. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm part of that people, that community that God is filling with his Spirit and touching lives. So just because on that particular occasion I went home and didn't feel God touched me in any particular way, I was rejoicing with what I was seeing. Yeah, do you get what I'm saying? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me just put another aspect to this. It's an aside to it, really. You know, some people get so down about church. They get so down that the church in the UK is in decline. They're never going to see revival. You know, we're in a bad way. It was better in a generation past. And now, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're going to hang on in. I'm thinking, just because that might be your experience, just because that might be our experience in the UK, just because maybe even in Europe it might be like that, guys, we need to get hold of a bigger picture. Across the world, the church is growing at a phenomenal rate, faster than the birth rate. The percentage of Christians is increasing in this earth. But we don't see that. Because we just come down and narrow it down to our little situation, and my little cell, I had 6 people, now I've got 3 people, where's God, blah, blah, blah. I tell you, God's on the move. God's on the move. Bigger picture. It's not just me all the time, it's us. There's a corporate dimension I want us to get hold of. So in the New Testament, households got saved. Did you know that? Remember the jailer? They all got baptized, but they didn't get baptized as unbelievers, they all believed. And they all got baptized as a household. Households were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember Pentecost, toppled out of the house, full of the Holy Spirit. And then in Cornelius' house, when the Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit together. I don't know that everyone there actually received the same manifestation, but I know God came corporately. And they were blessed because they were in that corporate community. I hope you get what I'm trying to say here. Yeah, when God's in the mix, when we're his temple together, yes, be hungry, yes, be thirsty. We're talking about that in a moment or two. But if on every occasion you don't experience something from the Lord, just rejoice that he's here because around you, you can see others are. Yeah? I don't know that I quite put that over right. Yes, anyway, we'll move on. It's okay because I'm part of this temple. So first of all, in that respect, just relax. Keep your temple holy so he feels welcome to come to you. Allow him to come and build you into a corporate expression. For us, it's LifeSpring Church, and LifeSpring's knitted to the churches in Reading, and it gets wider and broader, knitted and joined together to become a dwelling where he lives by his Spirit. Amen. That's our prayer, isn't it? That's our desire. Right. Number 2, the promise is for those who are thirsty. I want to read from Isaiah 55. Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine and milk, buy without money. Everything's free. Seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. And then the end of the chapter. So you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. I think the NIV says you'll be led forth in peace. Whole and complete. That's shalom. That's the Old Testament understanding of peace. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. No more thistles, But giant, what is it, John? Them. Yeah, what? Yeah, them. I'm sure it doesn't say that in the NIV. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines, monuments to me, to God, living and lasting evidence of God. What a beautiful, beautiful promise to those who are thirsty. Debs and CJ, they gave some really helpful criteria to receiving the Holy Spirit. And I'm coming to the place to believe that the most important criteria is surrender. Surrender to him. Peter says to those that were persecuting him and were asking him to stop preaching, part of his reply is, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. And maybe some of us, we want the Holy Spirit on our terms, but sorry, that's not an option. He's looking for surrender. No preconditions, no strings attached. Being prepared to put your dream down and embrace his, which is far better and much more fulfilling. You see, sometimes we talk about an order of priorities, and this is the general list which we come up with. And, you know, God's at the top, followed by me and my family. I mean, I put me there. You know, when we're praying, pray for me, because the more blessed I am, the more of a blessing I'll be. Yeah? Okay. And our family, ministry, maybe ministry and work for some. It's connected, it overlaps, but ministry, work, and then other I've put at the bottom there. And I mean, that's not a bad order, is it? And that's the sort of thing which we often talk about. But do you know what? And I haven't been able to illustrate this properly, but I think we need to see that the order is a little bit more like this. It's God right up there. It's God. And then there's me and family and ministry and work. And it's almost like we put God, well, I'll give time to God, I'll give time to family, I'll give time to ministry. It's all on sort of an equal sort of basis, but I think we've missed it completely. God's at the top, but he's not just the same. He's right there. The whole of it is God. And I think we need to get that aspect, and I'm surrendering to him. I surrender every aspect to him. That's what he's looking for from priority point of view. Seek first the kingdom, the will of God. And that's not even close to comparing with the rest of our responsibilities in life, which are all important too. Do you get what I'm saying? And I just think that's how we've got to begin to see what surrender is and to see what lives laid down is all about. It's God, big God first. And we make him first in our life. And I remember talking to a Christian one day, and he said, I find it difficult to be prepared to surrender. God knows I really wouldn't want to go as a missionary to China. And yet I'm sure if I just say, yes, God, I surrender, the first thing he'll do is say, you've got to go to China and you've got to this, that, and the other. And we have this warped view about this loving and kind Father that actually wants the best for our lives. And of course, if it's the absolute best that you go to China, then he's going to encourage you to do that. But why would you just in your thinking think the worst thing you can imagine is the very thing that God wants if you surrender? God loves us. God just, well, he's shown his love in Jesus. He wants the best for our lives in every area. And so surrender, yes, it's faith, it's trust, but it's for our good. It's for our good as we come under his desire. Then our finances begin to reflect that surrender. It'll come from the inside. Our willingness to follow him and other leaders begins to reflect that surrender. Our desire to make our marriage work and have a godly home comes out of that surrender to God, who's looking for a generation of godly offspring, Malachi 3. Our obedience to his word and our calling reflects our surrender to him. Our language reflects our surrender, etc., etc. Do you hear what I'm saying? So surrender to God, I think, is where we start when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit. And then look at Isaiah 55. Who is he inviting? Well, it's those who are thirsty. Actually, Jesus also says this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I long for us to be experiencing more of his presence and activity when we meet together. I love coming together, but I'm not satisfied. I'm thrilled with what God's doing, but there's more. I'm excited, but there's got to be more. I'm expectant, but I'm not satisfied. And LifeSpring, we mustn't settle either. There's always more mountains to conquer. There's always further to go. And I've been doing my best to keep off talking about the vision to you for a few weeks, but I can't help it, because we need to be thirsty and dissatisfied, because, you know, outside of these walls are 200,000 people who don't know Jesus, and that's just in our town. 200,000 people who don't know Jesus. I can't do it. Even Jesus couldn't do it by himself. Jesus needed a team. We need a team. And because Jesus chose 12, we're choosing 12 too. But not just a team. It's a team which he invested in, but it's a team which is filled with the Holy Spirit. They have a passion. They have a fire. They have a supernatural anointing to take this gospel out that the world might know and that the world might hear. They needed the Holy Spirit. They needed the Holy Spirit. So we've had some brilliant teaching about the importance of receiving the Spirit and fellowship with the Spirit and communion with the Spirit and life with the Spirit. I love everything that's been said, but guys, you can't get away. It's that we might be witnesses. It's that we might take this precious gospel out into a world that doesn't yet know. That's why he commanded his friends, his disciples, he said, wait. Now, if they hadn't surrendered, they'd be saying, what do you mean, wait? We've got the passion, we've got the heart, we've seen what you've done, we're just going to go, we're just going to do it. Fortunately, they surrendered. Fortunately, they waited. He said, wait in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. I don't think they knew what to wait for. They'd heard that there was going to be a baptism in the Spirit. This was new language to them. They didn't know what that looked like, but they waited. He says, you'll be my witnesses. The nations need to hear, but you can't do anything unless you wait. And I want to say, church, the invitation is for us too. If you're thirsty, we need to come. We need to wait. If you're broke or if you're in need, there's more. He wants to come to you. Don't just rush off in all of your busyness. Come to him. Come to him and receive from him. If you're hurting emotionally, come. Come. That's partly what the encounter is about. And I heard some amazing stories yesterday. I hope we hear them next week. You know, it's about receiving that healing. If you're dry and you feel worthless, come. Come. If you don't feel you're worthy, come. Just be thirsty. Come. He's got new life. He's got healing. He's got peace and joy to give you. You don't need money, Isaiah said. In other words, you can't earn this. You can't buy it. You just need to be thirsty. You, like me, just need to be unsatisfied because you know there's so much more. And when we receive him and see him and we enjoy his presence in heaven, yes, of course, we'll have it in all of its fullness. But until that day, be thirsty. Believe God, there has to be more. When he comes, our attitude changes. Our motives and agendas change. Our morals change. Our priorities change. Even our purposes change. But it's him writing his law on our hearts from the inside. It isn't a list of rules. It isn't a sheet of boxes that need to be ticked. All of a sudden, it's him on the inside, making us want to commit to those rules as such, making us want to work through whatever we need to be working through as he convicts and touches our lives. I found it interesting as I was just looking for the verse when Jesus said he promised them the Holy Spirit, and it comes right after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. So he teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer, what to pray, gives a little parable, and then he says this, but ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. Seek and keep seeking. And the promise is, if you ask, you will, what do you get? If you ask, you'll get the answer. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. And he goes on to say, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's like there seems to be even built into the Lord's Prayer teaching. Keep asking for him. I mean, he hadn't come at that stage, but keep asking. Keep asking. And if you ask and keep asking, he will come. I think sometimes he's looking for first. Sometimes he's looking for that to respond to. You know, it's not just a matter of, oh, I'll turn up at church and, oh, there's a bit of prayer, let's go up for a bit of prayer, see what happens. No, no, no. He's looking for, God, come. I need more. I need more. I can't do it by myself. I haven't got your heart. I haven't got your vision. I need more of you. I'm dry. The Bible doesn't seem to be making sense. The worship goes over my head. Do you know what? Easiest thing is just to walk out and have a cup of coffee at the end of this. But maybe you need to come too and receive from him. So last spring, we need to be thirsty until he comes. Don't lose expectation. Don't expect nothing to happen when you pray. I remember a Dutch young guy coming to me once. He'd heard about the Holy Spirit through our teaching. And he didn't want us to lay hands on him. But he went back to his tent. We were camping. And he said, and I just prayed, Holy Spirit, will you come? And he said, what began to come out of my mouth? It wasn't English and it wasn't Dutch. It was a new language. But he prayed expecting to receive. And he received. If you come forward to the front, come forward expecting to receive. And God will touch your life. Faith and expectation are important. So let me just close with these last four points, which I've already talked about. We are his temple. It's individual and it's also corporate. A bit of music would be fine, Paul. Receiving starts with surrender. Starts with surrender. The promise is for everyone who's thirsty. Everyone can come. It's not dependent on goodness, not dependent on how much you think you can earn or anything like that. Just dependent on being thirsty. And the promise also from Jesus is if we ask the Father, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who keep asking? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Shika Baba da Karasando. Lord, I want to pray for those in this congregation who aren't thirsty. And I want to ask, Lord, that you put a godly dissatisfaction in our hearts. Dissatisfaction with our walk, dissatisfaction with our relationship, dissatisfaction with our fruit, dissatisfaction with areas in our lives, because we know there's more. We know there's more. I want to pray, Lord, for those which have had a head knowledge and understanding and probably could teach this better than me, but they've not experienced, they've not received a fire, a passion, your life. And I want to ask, Lord, that you put a hunger, put a thirst in their hearts and all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that together we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to fill this place. Fill our hearts, touch our lives, fill this place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, none of us are worthy. None of us deserve you. Certainly not that awesome, incredible God coming to live in us. But that's what you've chosen to do. We want to welcome you. We want to welcome you. And say, come, Holy Spirit. I don't know if there's anybody here that wants prayer. But we're going to offer prayer. There'll be a ministry team. And I want to put it to some of you, because I think the last thing some of you want to do would be to receive prayer. But I just want to say, don't be satisfied. See, Jesus didn't come for those which feel they got it all. He came for those which knew there was a need, knew there was lack. And I just want to put to you, could you in humility, could you find it in yourself to say, well, I really know that I do need more. And I want to come and at least receive the beginning of a fire and a flame which is going to produce a fire in my heart. That I'll be passionate for you. Obsessed, I think CJ said the other day, obsessed with Jesus. Comes through the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to respond, would you just put your hand up where you are? Anybody on that level just feels, yes, I need more, I need more, I need more. Come to the front, guys. There's a ministry team, I'm saying in faith, but come to the front, guys. Come to the front. Let's ask God to do something way beyond what you are even imagining. Way beyond what you're imagining. Shika ba 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 sata dalato. Shika la ba 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 shata. Can you just come right close to the stage? Come right close so that others can come. Wow. 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 Worship. 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 Worship, we surrender to you, Lord. Lord, you see our hearts here. You see thirst. You see hunger. You see a desire. Lord, we lay down our lives afresh. You're going to do something special today, Lord. We lay down our lives afresh. Every priority, every plan, every, Lord, that which we're going against what your word says, we confess it, we're sorry. We need you. We need you. We need you. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. The team will be praying in a moment or two. I don't know if we can just sing a quieter song behind us, John, and people there, and we'll pray for you later. Just a song of surrendery sort of thing would be good, but I just believe God wants to touch hearts. He wants to touch hearts. He wants to touch hearts, Nicole. He wants to touch your heart. Yeah. We're going to pray for you guys later. That's a promise. Let's stay open now. Let's just stay open to the Lord. We'll sing a little song. And I'm just going to ask ministry team. It's not time for prophesying and that, but just come alongside. Just minister life. Just minister Holy Spirit. Just bring God's love into people's lives, because there's 200,000 that need to hear, and we need more of him. So Spirit of God, I just welcome you now. Just welcome you now. Thank you for this response. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Rivers, rivers, rivers. Let rivers begin to flow in Jesus' name.